Chapter 27. Teresa lay in the dark. The night was warm, the stillness spoiled only by the clonking of a frog down at the fish pond. The moonlight came in through the window, playing shadow pictures through the branches of the Pride of India tree onto the wall of her bedroom. She threw back the single sheet and swung her legs off the bed. She could not sleep. It was too warm. Her nightdress kept binding under her armpits. She stood up, and on a sudden reckless impulse, she drew the nightdress off over her head and tossed it through the open door of her dressing room. Then, naked, she walked out onto the wide veranda. Into the moonlight, with the cool stone flags under her bare feet, and the warm night air moving like the touch of fairy hands on her skin. She felt suddenly devilish and daring. She wanted to run down across the lawns and to have someone catch her doing it. She giggled, uncertain of this mood. It was so far removed from Manfred's conception of a good German Hausfrau's behaviour. "He'd be furious," she whispered with wicked delight. And then she heard the motor of the car. She froze with horror. The headlights flicked through the trees as the car came up the driveway, and she darted back into her room. In panic, she dropped to her knees and searched for the nightgown, found it, and ran to the bed as she dragged it on over her head. She lay in the darkness and listened to the car door slam. There was silence until she heard him pass her door. His heels clacked on the yellow wood floor. He was almost running. Teresa knew the symptoms. The late night return, the suppressed urgency, and she lay rigid in her bed, waiting. The minutes passed slowly, and then the interleading door from Manfred's suite swung open silently. "Manfred, is that you?" She sat up and reached for the switch of the bedside lamp.
"Don't put the light on."
His voice was breathless, slurred, as though he had been drinking. But there was no trace of liquor on his breath as he stooped over her and kissed her. His lips were dry and tightly closed as he slipped off his dressing gown. 2.5 minutes later, he stood up from the bed, turning his back to Teresa as he quickly shrugged into the silk dressing gown.
"Excuse me a minute, Teresa."
The breathlessness was gone from his voice. He went through the door of his own suite, and seconds later, she heard the hiss of the shower and the tinkling splash of water. She lay on her back, and her fingernails cut into the palms of her hands. Her body was trembling with a mixture of revulsion and desire. It had been so fleeting a contact, enough to stir her, but so swift as to leave her with a feeling of having been used and sullied. She knew the rest of the night would pass infinitely slowly, with restless, burning tension, remorse and self-pity alternating with wild elation and half-crazed erotic fantasy. "Damn him!" she screamed silently within her skull. "Damn him! Damn him!" She heard the shower stop, and then Manfred returned to her room. He smelt of 4711 eau de cologne, and he sat down carefully on the edge of the bed.
"You may turn on the light, Teresa."
It required a conscious effort for her to unclench her hand and reach out for the lamp switch. Manfred blinked behind his spectacles at the flood of light. His hair was damp and freshly combed. His cheeks shone like ripe apples.
"I hope you had an enjoyable day," he asked, and listened seriously to her reply.
Despite her tension, Teresa found herself falling under the almost hypnotic influence he wielded over her. His voice precise, almost monotonous. The glitter of his spectacles, the reptilian stillness of his body and features. As she had so many times before, she thought of herself as a warm, fluffy rabbit, sitting tense and fascinated before the cobra. "It is late," he said at last, and he stood up. Looking down at her as she lay cuddled into the white silk sheets, he asked, with as little emphasis as if he were requesting her to pass the sugar, "Teresa, could you raise 300,000 rand without your grandfather knowing?"
300,000?
"Yes. Could you?"
"Good Lord, Manfred, that's a small fortune."
She truly saw nothing unusual in her choice of adjective. "You know it's all in the trust fund. Well, most of it. There is the farm and the..." "No. I couldn't find half of that without Pop's knowing."
"Pity," murmured Manfred.
"Manfred, you aren't in difficulties?" she asked.
"No, good Lord, no. It was just a thought. Forget that I asked. Good night, Teresa. I hope you sleep well."
Involuntarily, she lifted her hands towards him in invitation. "Good night, Manfred." He turned and left the room. She let her hands fall to her sides. For Teresa Steiner, the long night had begun.